to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. We are in the midst of a discussion that's an open forum. So that means simply, whatever question you have about your relationship, Marcos is here to answer it. So just give us a call at 855-454-5905. Let's go right to the phones. We have Diane calling in from Trenton, New Jersey. Diane, good morning. You're live on the air. Hey, Diane.
Hello.
Diane, are you there?
I just take it off speaker.
Oh, there you go. How are you? Well, thank you for taking it off speaker. Thank you for calling.
I'm just excited about actually listening to your program because I've heard it advertised for so long and never had an opportunity to sit and listen. And listening now, I was just really in awe because I can feel the caller who called earlier, Anna.
Yes.
And in a similar situation, only not with the husband not wanting to give sex. Mine is totally the opposite.
Oh, really? So no, she's in a sexless marriage. She just felt like no matter what, her husband just won't really fulfill her physical needs. But for you, it's the opposite. Your husband, that's what he wants?
This is what he wants, but I'm not getting the other part, the respect, the love, the, you know, and I feel like I'm in a, what do you call it, an abused relationship, but not physically, you know what I mean, just emotionally. And
you feel deprived.
Correct. Deprived of my emotional needs from, you know, my husband. But yet him always wanting, like, everything is related to sex. Like, I don't feel like I want to have sex with him because he's not doing the things that I need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the things that Anna was talking about with regards to, you know, where she feels about her marriage. Like, I've been married 20 years.
Wow.
This is 20 years, but the last four, I would say from like 2010, I just have not, you know, and not that it just
happened. So I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
So we totally hear you and how you feel. Are you giving what your husband is asking for? For a moment, pause what you're feeling, but just he wants sex and it sounds like a lot of it. Are you fulfilling his needs?
Not to the point, no, not anymore, because mm-hmm. I don't feel, it's hard to explain, like I don't feel.
Yeah, you don't feel that connection, so it's harder for you to
right,
give.
And things for me are emotional. And,
sure.
So it's like if I'm not, if I feel like I'm not getting what, you know, I need, I can't be intimate with you.
And that's normal, right? Except that the Bible does call us to a higher standard, right? Which is not just to go by our feelings. That's the way of the world. And mm-hmm. so what you say, and you know, our theme scripture of the day is from Ephesians 5. What you're saying is, listen, I'm having a hard time, but so I can't fulfill my part because my husband won't do his. And so in Ephesians 5, there's a book out there called Love and Respect. Dr. Emerson talks about how there's this cycle that people get stuck in it, and he calls it the crazy cycle. I don't know if you've heard of it before, but what the crazy cycle is, you know, since that scripture in Ephesians talks about the wife really respecting the husband and the husband loving the wife, he says, well, sometimes there are couples who, like, let's say, for example, and we'll just fill in the blank here. For you, it's not necessarily, you don't feel loved, but in the way that you describe. But they're saying, okay, so the husband doesn't feel respect. And it doesn't matter who feels it first, right? But the husband doesn't feel respected, so he doesn't show love to his wife. Then the wife doesn't feel loved, so she doesn't show respect to her husband. And then the cycle continues until someone decides, you know what, regardless of whether my needs are met or not, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to meet my spouse's needs. Now, I tell you, it's a lot easier, especially from someone like me, to be able to help couples when the at least one person is doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part, and what the Bible even says, is that sometimes we got to take, you know, the plank out of our eye before we try to help someone else. Because as much as if you try to tell your husband what you need and he doesn't feel like you're doing your part,
right,
it's like you're stuck. It's like literally you're at a stalemate.
That's where it is.
And so my encouragement to you is you can't change him. And he has a specific sex drive. And I don't even think it's so much that you have a problem with his sex drive. It's just because you don't feel that your needs are being met. Then you're like, well, how can you expect me to do this in return? And
yeah. And
I tell you, it's not easy. It's not natural. But it's right to still give. You know, the Bible even calls us, and I'm not saying your husband is the enemy, but the Bible says love your enemies. I mean, how difficult is that, right? Like, you know, we would love it. And in the Old Testament where it says an eye for an eye, we like that a lot better. But when we read the scriptures and it says, no, you got to love them and you got to pray for those who persecute you. And it's like, oh, my goodness.
And
sometimes that's your
honest,
spouse.
That's easy. Mm-hmm. For me, that's really easy to pray for those who, you know, wrong you and, you know, and to.
Sure. But that's not your struggle. But you have a higher calling. You,
right.
It's to love your husband even when he's not lovable.
Right.
Even when you don't feel like it. Is to give to him, because here's the thing. Isn't that how Christ treats us, right? Didn't he sacrifice his life when we were his enemies?
Oh,
when we
yeah.
didn't care about him? And so that's what works in marriage. Now, here's the thing, Diana. When you work on you, a lot of times your husband will see it, and if he doesn't, at least you can get him to help, but you know you're doing your part.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder when you're not. You know, and so I think you know what you need to do. The Bible says if you know the good that you ought to do, it says it in James, if you know the good you ought to do but don't do it, it's sin. And so you know your part. Now, is it easy? No. Is it natural? No. Is it going to take denying yourself? Absolutely. But if the good news is this, look, your husband's desiring you. I would be more concerned if your husband all of a sudden had this high sex drive and all of a sudden he didn't have a desire for you. I would say, hey, you better be, you know, careful. Something else is going on. But he wants you.
There is the desire, and there's no doubt there. But there's also, I mean, I don't have concrete proof, but there is infidelity in regards to, like, text messages and conversations with other women.
But you say you don't have proof? So how do you know?
Well, I can't really say. Like, proof that, you know, like I haven't seen him with these other women, but I've seen conversations.
Yeah, but that's his. I mean, you see conversations, there's evidence. I mean, that's pretty strong. That's
yes.
different. Now that's a different
I would really like if I could speak offline as opposed to on the radio.
Sure. No, I totally understand. Well, I tell you what, I do, Diana, invite you to, you can send me a message. I'll give you an email address and
mm-hmm.
you can share a little bit more. And also, especially if your husband's willing to talk as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
definitely.
So you can shoot me an email. There's two ways you can do it. If you have
my
a pen handy.
Too long for radio.
Well, I appreciate that. But I do think it's good that you brought this up. This is very important. It's good conversation and we thank you for it. So
mm-hmm.
you can reach me at Beyond Vows, Beyond the Vows.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's just Beyond Vows. I'm sorry. BeyondVows@gmail.com.
Okay.
Or you can go to our website, praisephilly.com, and there's a message you can send me, and it'll send me an email as well.
Okay. That would be awesome.
All right. Well, Diane, hang in there. We'd love to have some more conversation offline as well.
I truly appreciate it, and I thank you so much for taking the call, and I'm just glad I've been able to listen to your program, because I'm a proponent of marriage. I believe in everything, and, you know, you went through Ephesians and Corinthians and that whole divorce thing, and I was mm-hmm. listening again to Anna talking about where she was and, you know, just in a similar boat. So
absolutely.
I definitely need counseling.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you've made the call, so we thank you so much for that, Diana. We appreciate it.
Yes.
All
thank
right.
you.
Well, have a blessed
Take care.
Day.
You do the same. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, don't touch that dial, guys. We have to take a brief break, but we will return with more conversation. We invite you to be a part of it. If you have any questions about your relationship and you need some advice, this is a great time to call. 855-454-5905. Marriage Beyond the Vows will continue after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're having an open forum this morning. So that means you have an opportunity to ask whatever question you have about your relationship. And Marcos will give you some advice. The number to reach us is 855-454-5905. Let's go to line two and speak with brother from New Jersey. Good morning, brother. You're live on the air.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to comment regarding marriage and sex and just everything that's involved into a marriage, but particularly about sex. I've been married 10 years, and we've been together for 13, and in the process of us being together and married, there has been infidelity in our marriage from on both sides, and and we're going through ups and downs now. And from my point of view, I'm not having sex with another woman right now. But me and my wife had a discussion about, you know, why do you go out and do that? And I told her why I did, because you don't know the other person. You know, that person doesn't know you, you know, and you can be whoever you want with that person. And when you do have sex, from a man, I'm not emotionally connected to that woman. She doesn't hurt my feelings. She doesn't really know me. So it's all good. Our relationship is just, there's no problems, because we're not really trying to really get, I'm not really trying to really get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, I just move on when it gets too heavy, when the other woman starts, you know, falling in love. And I told my wife, you know, when they fall in love, you know, that's when I roll. And she says that, you know, why are you still with me? Because I said, because I love you. You know, it's not about sex with my wife, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, she want to have sex with me all the time, but I don't want to have sex with her.
Because
I'm disgusted with her. She's just foul, you know. Like, you know, we go to church. You know, I stepped off. I was in ministry. Mm-hmm. I had my own church, and you know, and I was young when I had the church. You know, it was so much mess. So I left. Mm-hmm. You know, I left. You know, I'm just gradually getting back into the church again. My wife, she always stayed in ministry. You know, she stayed there. You know, and I slipped off, and because of depression and everything else, you know, I went back to drugs, you know. So now in our relationship, you know, it's drugs in there now because I'm doing them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got children, you know, we got a set of children. We got 5 children.
Wow.
You know, it's and so much things happen financially. You know, my wife can't work. And, you know, it's just tough, you know. And I want to comment, you know, how can you have sex with somebody when you disgusted with them? I know what the scriptures say. I know all the scriptures. I know what they say. You know, but it's not fair, man.
What are you disgusted?
You don't really like. You don't really. You know, you love them, but you really just don't like them. You know, you don't. They don't turn you on.
I got you. But what is the turnoff? Is it the way she looks? Is it the way she acts?
Nah, my wife is beautiful. Like, she is bad. Like, my wife is really. We got five kids. Like, my wife is bad. She's really, I'm not just saying it because she's my wife. No, she's really pretty. Like, she's all right.
All right, so it's not physical attraction.
Nah, she's bad. I told her that. Like, I'm like, out of 10 females, I'm not just going on, but out of 10 females, I mean, she's in the top percentile. Like, she's up there, you know, like, she's nice. But anyway.
Okay, so I'm sure she appreciates
it's not about
you.
That. Right. And I'm not ugly either. I'm not bad looking myself. But the thing is, I'm just disgusted with her, you know?
But what's disgusting you? Like, what is it, her attitude then? Is it her language? Is it, what is it?
It's her attitude. It's her language. It's her whole disposition. It's her approach. It's her, you know, not knowing who I really am when I'm expressing to her who I really am. You know, it's a whole lot.
I think,
scripturally, you know, it's a whole lot.
But I think number one, I have mentioned this to a previous caller. You know, the Bible's very clear about we got to make sure we take the plank out of our eye before we take the speck. And you have mentioned that you're still doing drugs. I think number one, to get right and to be able to fix your marriage, you got to change. I mean, that's not helping. I mean, you might think your wife is a nag and she's nasty, and maybe she is, but there are things that you're adding that you're making really difficult for your wife to be different. And so you obviously have some major changes to make and some repentance that you already know, all right, because you know you got to do this. And I think it starts with that. And I think the second thing is once you get yourself right, you and your wife could work together on overcoming the things that are hurting your marriage. Because it's not a physical thing, but it's a spiritual thing. There's something seriously off in your marriage physically, I mean spiritually, and what hurts me and what I think is heavy in our hearts when we hear you is that there are five children involved. And so you have an accountability before God. You know, my brother, my question is, what are you going to do about your sin and making changes?
I'm like, you know, my depression, man. Like, I went to the doctors. They gave me some medicine. I can't take that, man. That medicine ain't for me, you know?
Okay.
I went to start smoking bud again because that's all I know. Like, bud, I don't be tripping when I be smoking bud. I don't get all anxious and all that. So my attitude as far as, like, me not snapping, I don't snap no more and all that. You know, she doesn't condone me smoking weed, but, you know, but she does see a difference in my attitude. You know, I am approachable. I am, you know, it's not like that. I don't know what to substitute with that. I don't know how to get rid of it because when I try to get rid of it, I start getting mad and stuff. So I don't smoke like I used to, but I smoke a little bit just to keep my nerves and stuff. Right. I don't know what to substitute that with.
Well, I'm going to tell you what's the greatest substitute, and I know it's not going to sound like, really? But I think God is the alternative, the choice that you have. That look, instead of going to medicate your emotions, you got to take this with God. You know, if you read the Psalms, you could tell. I mean, there are times in whether it's David or another psalmist writing out of the 150 Psalms, some of those Psalms, you're like, man, it would draw anybody to want to get high and escape. But their escape was God. They're going, God, help me and be with me. And he always comes through. I mean, Jesus himself, right, when he was about to go to the cross, they offered him some way to medicate him, some gall mixed, you know, with wine so that he can medicate it and forget the pain. And he's like, no, he refused because it's about trusting God. And I want to encourage you, my brother, your alternatives, your choices are God. That's your choice. I mean, you're telling me you were in the ministry. You know the right thing. You just have gone very far from it. And I think once you start making the changes in your life, your family, your wife, your kids, they're going to see it. Now, the one thing I will caution you is once you start making these changes, don't expect everybody to get it instantly because you change that they all of a sudden get it. You might have to live with the consequences for a while. But you definitely need to do something about this. So my question is,
I can live with the consequences, you know. I can live with that.
Okay. And then, and what about dealing with the depression? You're saying they give you medication, you're not willing to take it?
I don't like it, man.
So is there anything else that they can give you? Have you talked to them?
I can't take it.
Okay. Well, you realize you're still, you realize you're still medicating yourself in other ways. But man,
I don't know no other way to medicate it. I mean, I try prayer and all that, but like, I really have an issue. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I told my wife, this is not like in my brain or this is by faith. I'm here. Like, I really have an issue. Like, if I can't take that medication they gave me, but, and the only thing that helps me is the weed.
Okay. So you're telling me that the only way for you to function, but it's, and then it's also not working though. I mean, it might be medicating you for one moment, but look where your life is.
I mean, my life ain't too shabby.
Not too shabby. You've been unfaithful.
Listen,
nah, your wife has been unfaithful.
I do smoke weed, but I'm saying is that I don't know no other medication. Maybe counseling, maybe some heavy counseling or something. Because if I get urges, I need to step off and, you know, talk to somebody. That's just how it is.
And that's an alternative. I mean, that's definitely an alternative. And I think doing what you know you should do. The reason I'm saying all this, because you know what's right deep inside. And what you're doing is not right.
Well, can you pray? Listen, I know we got to get on the phone.
No, absolutely.
Can you pray for me real quick,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, absolutely. I would do that.
Have all the saints, all the brothers that lift me up. I need strength. I know what's right. I just need some strength. And so I can move on. Please just pray for me so I can get off, so I can move on. Just pray for me so I can get off this phone.
Yeah. Well, let me say a quick prayer. God in heaven, thank you so much, Father. We know that life can be a struggle, but you always provide a way out. You always have solutions. I pray for our brother here, God, and his challenges, his wanting solutions, but going to the wrong places, God, knowing that sometimes he feels stuck, Father. I do pray that you just really give him that freedom that he is so much searching for, God. I know you have the answers, and I know everything is possible for you, Father. We love you. We just want to thank you in advance for giving him a way out and some great solutions, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, my brother. We appreciate your call.
All right.
All right. Take care. If you're just tuning in, it's Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're taking your calls with your comments and, of course, your questions about your relationship. There is an open forum in play right now. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Lynn calling in from Philadelphia. Lynn, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. My name is Lynn. I've been married for 10 years, and my husband, being addicted to pornography, is that considered infidelity in a marriage?
You know, that's an excellent question, and the answer, I mean, it really does depend on what he's doing and his whole attitude about it. But obviously, we know from the book of Matthew, the Bible says that if you even look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. And so when you say he's addicted to porn, I mean, is this something that is he overcoming? Has he repented, or is he just still in it?
He said that he overcome it and repented. And he basically was telling me that it wasn't infidelity because he just watched it. He didn't masturbate. He didn't go with other women, or he just watched the program. And that was it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And because I was a virgin when I got married, I grew up in the church, and I didn't know, so I just, you know, decided, okay, well, I guess because there was no intimacy with another woman, or, you know, he didn't, I figure it wasn't. But then there was always that thing back in my mind that bothered me, like, was this considered infidelity? Because that's how I felt. And just and that him watching the porn did cause problems sexually in our marriage.
Of course.
He didn't have sex with me.
Of course. And what you're saying, Lynn, and let me be clear here. You, congratulations, by the way. You know, you trusted God, you did it the right way, and but in being married and being a virgin, I mean, there's a very little experience. You had no experience, and so you're trying to compete with the women that he's watching in these pornographic videos, and there's no way. There's no way you're going to be able to. I mean, absolutely not. So has it affected your relationship? Absolutely. And is it a form of cheating? I mean, I think, look what he's done. He's destroying your relationship. And it's not something to be taken lightly. I mean, this is serious. And let me tell you, I have deep, deep convictions about and why I hate pornography. And I think that, number one, I mean, the sex trade industry, I mean, there are people who literally are sex slaves. But I think that the second one, and probably as equal to that, is how much it ruins your true intimacy. I mean, I hate that stuff. It just destroys. And you know, we all are curious and lustful and get pulled in the wrong direction. But my attitude is, listen, if I let this stuff in my life, if I allow myself to get engaged in this, it does affect the relationship that I can have with my wife. I won't be able to be satisfied with her. I won't be able to see her the same. I mean, it just ruins everything. It taints everything. And so your husband and him, you know, watching and indulging in pornography, even if it was just a little, like, oh, I'm not watching much, it's just a little. It's like, why? I mean,
he said he was trying to get ideas, you know, because he only had one sexual experience. He didn't know about sex.
Okay.
He did it, you know, to get ideas. And I didn't know that this is something he did before I married him. I had no idea. Because I told him if I knew that, I would not have married him.
Okay. Well, my question is this. Now that you know, and have you confronted him, and is he willing to stop?
Yes, yes, yes. He's willing to stop. And he did get counseling, and I decided.
Awesome.
I took it. And maybe this will help the lady. And I took it straight with the word. The Bible says that this such come out by fasting and praying. So I committed to go on 21-day fast. And it took 5 years.
Wow.
It took 5 years. And I went on a 21-day fast for my marriage every year, just for the marriage, every year. And I saw, you know, progression. But, you know, we still struggle sexually with him having erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, you know, I said, I never said this to him, but I pray about it. Like, I wonder if that's a payment from him watching pornography. But, you know, there's something that we struggle with, and we've been struggling with this from the beginning of marriage, 10 years. And, you know, my friend, you know, one friend I had pray with me, that's what gave me the question. She said, Joy, you had a way of escape out of your marriage, and you didn't take it.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't take it, so now you're stuck because he's not cheating on you. Now you're stuck. You had a way of escape when you found out about the pornography. You could have gotten out, and now you're stuck, and now you're going to have to deal with this strictly by prayer and for him to walk in deliverance and pray for manifestations of healing and deliverance in your marriage and in your life. And you're going to have God just to manifest those things and wait
Absolutely.
On the Lord and keep.
And Lynn, the only thing I would tell you is I wouldn't say you're stuck as much as you're committed to this together. You stood by his side, you're staying by his side, and now you have a different issue. This is another issue, and I don't know if this is related or not, but it's a new issue to deal with. And so and I don't know if he's been to the doctor and they found out, you know, is it a physical issue or is it emotional? Is it
He went to the doctor. It's an emotional issue. You
so,
know,
so this is what you might have to do, Lynn. And let me be clear about how I say this. I want to be careful how I say this, but be the wife you need to be for him where he won't even have a desire to want to go anywhere else or to be tempted. Because, you know, temptation will come, but say, listen, I'm going to be what you need. And that might mean, you know, getting sexy lingerie. That might mean you guys, you know, getting help, getting input. But, you know, not pornography, but there are definitely ways that you can grow and learn. And I think what you're doing is amazing. Spending that time fasting and praying, I would say add to that prayer fast. I would say, God, give me ways to please my husband in a way that you designed. And I love the scriptures. You know, they have the answers for everything. You know, Songs of Solomon. There are just some really graphic things there that you're like, whoa, is this a book about sex? Yes, it is. And it's in the Bible. And so it's something that's beautiful and God designed for us to enjoy in marriage. And you still, it sounds like you've been together 10 years. Yes. You still have, God willing, and many years together.
We have no children.
Okay.
And, you know, and it's just been, you know, so much. And I, you know, I've asked so many questions. Mm-hmm. But I also was calling in that maybe my story could help Anna also. Yeah.
Well, maybe not just Anna, right? Others that are in similar situation where they're going to have to really persevere. You know what I want, Lynn? Just keep praying, keep doing it, but add that, you know, literally pray specifically. If I can challenge you on this, is say, God, help me to spice up my marriage in a sexual way. I don't think we pray about these things enough. And then call us back in a few months and let us know how things are going.
Yeah, I guess because I was so mad about the pornography, I used to do those things and I stopped because I was just so hurt because I did it. And there's times he just ignored me.
Mm-hmm.
Had the candles, the lingerie, everything so beautiful, and he just ignored me. And it hurt me so bad till I just gave up on doing that.
Okay, well, don't give up. Because you were hurt and he was in sin, but if you're saying he's really serious about his repentance, then don't treat him as his sins deserve. Forgive him. The Bible says, "Forgive as the Lord forgave you."
Yeah.
So put yourself out there again. It's worth it for your marriage. And again, you put it out there. Put it before God. God got this.
Okay.
All right. Well, Lynn, thank you so much. We really appreciate you sharing openly because I do believe it's going to help many. Many people. God bless. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Let's go to Sister calling in from Charlotte. Sister, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. I wanted to comment on the lady Diane that called in.
Yes.
And she cut the conversation short. Well, I'm living her life. I'm a Christian, been saved many, many years. My husband's He's been baptized, but he doesn't live a Christian lifestyle.
Okay.
He's a heavy drinker, and we've been married for 18 years. We have one child.
One second. And you're referring to Diane, the one that said that her husband just won't meet her needs, won't give her intimacy?
No, the one where she doesn't feel a desire for her husband.
Oh, yes, yes, okay, yeah. She doesn't want to give back to him. She doesn't feel okay.
Well, just like my husband, I've given to him, but now he's gotten to the point where, like she said, I don't have any physical proof, but you know, I've heard phone conversation, I've seen text messages, but I don't have pictures or I haven't seen with my eyes him being unfaithful. But I have heard, you know, him on the phone with other women. I've seen messages.
But that's proof enough. You understand? I think sometimes we want like concrete proof. I mean, someone's having an inappropriate conversation. I mean, what are they talking about? Makes you wonder what they're doing. I mean, that's a breach of trust.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, that is from the Bible. That is proof enough for me to say he's been unfaithful in our relationship and that I have the right to leave if I choose.
What have you heard? When you heard, is he talking about sexual, is he having explicit conversations with women?
I've heard, she's going to be out of town this weekend. And I've heard him say, I love you. I've heard him, I haven't heard any sexual conversation.
And you're saying this is phone messages? And what about emails or anything like that?
No email, but text messages on his phone. I've seen call me, and then they have this little smiley face at the end.
And this is definitely with a woman.
Yeah. Well, and I redial his phone and see who picks up, and a female picks up. And when I confront him about it, of course, he flips the script and say that I have no business going to his phone
That's proof enough. All right. When someone is guilty, the Bible says the guilty flee, although no one pursues him, right? You're just confronting him, right? You're just asking him a question, and he's all flippant about it, and he's like, no, you know, and he tries to make it about you. That's guilt right there. I think you got to ask yourself, what can you live with? If in your heart of hearts you feel like, man, this man is unfaithful, it's obvious. Mm-hmm. This is a conscience issue between you and God, because you divorce him for that reason, and you know that's the reason, and you also ask God to make it clear, it'll become so clear. I mean, even if you just separated before you got divorced, I mean, if this man is living a lie, it'll be clear. Mm-hmm. God just exposes sin, but you got to want to see it. And so the things you're telling me, yeah, there are hints there, but his attitude is what's perhaps, you know, giving him away more than anything else. And so when you confront him, the heart, you know, if someone's not guilty, they're like, well, I'm sorry, honey, here, you can see that there's nothing. What are you talking about? You know, but if it's defensive, you're his wife. You have every right to look at his phone. You have every right to question. Absolutely.
Those are the things I would tell him. I'm your wife. I can look at your phone. Nothing for you to hide.
Of course.
Why can't I look at your phone? He'll say, because of privacy. I have a right to my own privacy.
Well, he does. And then he also has a right to live his own life and move on. But if he's married to you, no. No way. The Bible says the two become one. Since when one was like, no, you can't see my phone. What? It's our phone. I mean, there should be no secrets. I mean, right. Unless, you know, unless he was a secret agent for you know, for the CIA or something, and he just legally he can't show you. But that's not what we're talking about, right? We're talking about his own privacy, this man wants to live his life and not be held accountable. So
he tries to make me feel so guilty. You're supposed to be a Christian, and he just makes me feel, he flips around and makes me feel guilty.
All right. Well, stop feeling guilty. Number one, he's your husband. Now, here's the thing. Can you do things better? Absolutely. Can you be more of a Christian? All of us can. But if he's obvious, I mean, you're hearing him say, she's out of town, let's meet up, call me later, and then you confront him and he has an issue. I mean, look, you are his wife. You have every right to ask any question and to do it. I mean, you're his wife. And so you should never feel guilty or bad about that. That's like my teenage daughter telling me, Dad, you can't check out my phone. Who pays for that phone? That's my phone too. You know, that's like my wife saying, you know, I need my privacy. What are you talking? We're one. It's the same way with me. My wife can know. She has a right to call me anytime, ask me where I'm at, expect the right answer. I mean, that's just, as a matter of fact, we have an app on the phone that we could even check where each other's at, not because we don't trust each other, but because, you know, God forbid there's an emergency and we don't know where we are, the phone tells us.
Yeah.
But we don't have anything to hide. I mean, where am I going to go that I don't want my wife to know? I mean, so don't feel bad at all. Confront him.
Those are things I'd be telling him, but he just flips it around and, I don't know, and then, you know, you feel like, I pray and I'd be wanting, you know, the marriage to him to be faithful and go in a different direction. And so I'll wait. And
you want to pray for something very specific? Say, God, expose this man. And I tell you, those are some of the prayers that God answers quickly. Mm-hmm. His sin will come out. Now you just got to prepare yourself. Are you ready to, you know, see what God will show you?
Right.
Because if God shows you and it's, you know, it's ugly, it probably is. He's having an affair, or what if he even has, you know, children outside of the marriage? I mean, you got to prepare yourself. And so I tell people all the time, you sure you want to see, but God will show you. And then there's no disputing. I mean, you know, people are funny. You know, they would lie. They would, I mean, even we read in the scriptures, right? We know about Adam and Eve, and God knew everything, and yet they sinned and they tried to like hide from God. It's like, really? You trying to hide from God? God sees everything. What are you doing? But I think that's how we are. We try to lie and cheat our way out of things. Mm-hmm. At some point, you got to say, listen, God is bigger than this. You can't mock God, because that's really what he's doing. He's more than hurting you. He's mocking God.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Sister, be strong. If you're ready for that, start praying that prayer. And I tell you, I've seen God answer that prayer in so many ways.
Right.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Hang in there. Please keep us posted. Call us back.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Let's go to Betty calling in from Philadelphia. Betty, good morning. You're live on the air. Betty, are you there?
My name is not Betty, if you're talking to me.
Oh,
okay. What's your name?
We're sorry.
Can you tell us your name?
My name mentioned on the phone anyway.
Oh, you didn't want to mention your name? Okay. Well, that's fine. You can be anonymous.
All right.
Okay. So what is your comment or question for us?
My husband and I have been married 50 years. I'm 86 years old, and I am. He's in the nursing home. He's been away from me for 2 years.
Okay.
And I am highly sexual, and I refuse to commit adultery.
Okay.
And I have been praying and praying and praying about it, but I'm still as I am, and it's very hard for me because I just don't know what to do.
Okay, now is your husband in a nursing home? Is are you able to visit, and are you able to have sexual relations with him there or not?
Oh, no. He has a Foley catheter in. He'll be there. He'll just be there.
Okay. All right, so you're basically saying that you have these desires that you don't feel like you have any way of being able to meet.
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you think is the lesson that God is teaching you here? Because you obviously are you have these sexual desires, right? God gave them to you.
Yes. And I have no idea. I have thought about everything. That maybe he's going to leave me soon, or I'll marry again, or I just don't know. I've thought about all kinds of things, and I can't imagine. I just can't imagine.
Now let me ask you this, Betty. Have you've heard of what it means to sublimate?
To what?
Sublimate. What that is you can't have certain needs met just physically. Your husband's not able to. And figuring out ways that you can make up for that. You know, I'll give you an example. If you have a couple who you know, who's in a marriage and their spouse gets into an accident, now they're paralyzed. Now they can't fulfill that sexual desire, similar to your situation. And so what they figure out ways of like, how can I still have this intimacy and this closeness? So they figure out ways to cuddle or hug or do something else that would meet those needs. You know, creative ways to make sure that you're still feeling fulfilled.
Well, there is no way. He's flat on his back and.
Okay.
I it's just no way.
Is there privacy in the nursing home?
No.
And he can't come out?
He can't get out of bed.
Wow.
He can't even stand on his own.
Can he speak?
Yeah. He can speak.
Okay.
He has the same urges because he tells me he dreams all the time.
No, I'm going to make a suggestion, all right? This is just a suggestion. This is me, and I'm not a sex therapist, and I think
right. Sex
therapists can help you more. But in times of where people have had challenges, sometimes people, and it's not wrong. I know some people might feel like, well, what are you advising them? There's nothing in the scriptures that will say it's wrong. This is your husband, and then you're trying to find a way to mutually fulfill one another. What about just being on the phone and just having like some kind of mutual masturbation, mutual ways to enhance each other, but you're not physically present, but you're making a connection?
No, that's no good for me.
No? Okay.
No.
Well, you know what? I was going to call you Betty. That's not your name. But I think one of the things you might really want to do is try to get some kind of Christian sex therapist to help you. I mean, this is definitely beyond what I can do. I can give you suggestions from what I've heard and I've seen and I've been able to help, but I'm not a sex therapist.
Well, I don't know of any sex therapist.
Okay.
Do I find it in the Yellow Pages or what?
Well, I mean, do you use the internet at all?
No. As I said, I'm 86.
Well, I don't know. Some folks do, but okay. Let me see if I do know of one. Let me see if I can look it up. You know what, Betty, if you can hold on, I'm going to put you on the phone with my producer, and I want to get your contact info, give you my contact info, and then I can offline give you this, because I don't want to give this to everyone, and it's someone that we're endorsing, and we're really not, but I think for you it might be a good option. Okay, so if you just hold on and speak to my producer, Larry.
All right. Thank you so much for the call. We have time for one more call this morning. We'll go to Erica calling in from Philadelphia. Erica, good morning. You're live on the air. Erica, are you there? Oh, I don't know where Erica is. Okay, so I guess that's it. I guess it's going to be a wrap up. We do not have Erica, unfortunately. So we thank you so much for joining us on the program this morning. We thank you for listening to us each and every Saturday. We appreciate the phone calls, the feedback, and of course, your comments and questions. If you ever have any question during the week and you just can't seem to wait until Saturday, we encourage you, advise you, inspire you to go to our Facebook page, look for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Facebook, and then you can post your questions right there. Marcos will get to you as soon as humanly possible. With that said, we want to say thank you so much to our producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye. Be blessed.